All right, so here's what's going to happen. I mentioned earlier that we support some missionaries. Well, we have a missionary that's going to be with us, and we're going to spend some time together with you that we have supported for over 23 years. And I bet you half of you don't even know who she is. And that's really not good. And so I really felt that it was really important to, in a sense, reintroduce her to you so that you can get a sense of who you're supporting on a monthly basis, because she's one of those people we support monthly with finances. So Jennifer Bliss, let's give a warm welcome to her. Come on up, Jennifer. And I love the fact I get to sit down. I don't get to do that very often. All right, there we go. Amen. Thank you for being with us. I know that you've been here in the country for a couple of months, but yep. I think we need to back up a little bit and do some general stuff first. So sure. You are a missionary to where?
Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Okay.
Which is a country in Europe. It's across the Adriatic Sea from Italy. So actually Central Europe, although it's sometimes put in Eastern Europe, but yeah.
It's cool. And you've been there for like
25 years altogether. Like, yeah, I had a sabbatical 2 years recently. Okay. So it's kind of 23 years, yeah, actually there.
Amen. So I think what we want to do now is kind of go back in time a little bit, kind of how did you get there? So let's go back to, you know, how did you come to meet Jesus?
Mm-hmm. So I wasn't raised in a Christian family. We didn't go to church, but I was spiritually curious even as a teenager, and unfortunately, I got somebody once described as having the wrong tour guide of the spiritual realm, and I got involved in New Age, some, you know, seances, tarot cards, those kind of things, and because I didn't know who God was. And then friends that I was involved with, they started going to a church, and I started going to a youth group with them, hearing the gospel, but didn't know if that was the truth. Mm. And so it took some months for God to work on my heart and send some other people. And then I went on a youth retreat where they had they showed a film, "Do You Have Your Reservation in Heaven?" And I realized I didn't have my reservation, and I better get it. So I gave my life to the Lord there when I was 17.
That's awesome.
I've been serving Him ever since. So.
It's awesome. I've never seen the movie, but I like the name. Do you have your reservation in heaven?
Yes.
That's good. And in fact, if there's anyone here, is your reservation confirmed? Mm-hmm. Amen? You know, yeah. I pray it is. And if it isn't, it's as simple as asking Jesus into your heart right here, right now. Just like Jennifer did back all those years ago, making that decision is as easy as saying, "Jesus, I need you." Because what are you saying? "I can't do this myself. I need you. I have fallen short of your perfectness. And Lord, I need a way to get to heaven. And I know I can't do it." And again, you don't have to pray those exact words, but that's the idea, to say, "I'm not perfect. You are. And you made a way through your son, Jesus." And so if you invite Jesus into your heart, it's something you do. The church can't do it for you. Your parents can't do it for you. Your best friend can't do it for you. Only you and the Lord can make that decision. So I encourage you now, make that decision if you haven't done that. So you made that decision, but still, how did you end up being a full-time missionary halfway around the world?
Well, I feel like God has certainly directed my story even before I came to know Him. And I traveled overseas when I was 6 months old the first time. And in fact, I was in the former Yugoslavia, which Bosnia was part of at that time when I was 6 months old. Mm-hmm. And He just kept giving me a love for people of other cultures and learning new cultures and interested in that. And when I was in high school, I was part of a foreign exchange program club, and I wanted to go as an exchange student. And I felt the Lord opened up that opportunity. It was a secular organization, but I was a new believer, and I went to Yugoslavia, which was like then Bosnia was part of. And I spent 10 months with a family there from 1990 to 91. And actually, I left a week after the breakup of Yugoslavia. It was starting to break up, and right in that double time. And then God just kept bringing people from that area of the world to me. My host sister that I live with, she lived with my family for a year, so I continued to speak the language and just have connections there. And when the war broke out in Bosnia-Herzegovina in 1992, there were a lot of refugees that came here to the States, and I would meet some of the refugees that came, and And so I felt like God maybe had a missions call in my life. So after finishing a college with a degree in journalism, working for a college ministry for a couple of years, I went to Elam Bible Institute, where they had a one-year missions program. And there I met missionaries from all over the world, and everything sounded exciting. But I went to see the missions director, and I said, and by the way, I was an exchange student in Yugoslavia, and he just about jumped out of his chair. He's like, you got to meet this couple that's working in Mostar, which is a city I've now been serving in for so many years. And I went for a short-term trip in 99. They called me back. God just confirmed that I was supposed to come back. I hadn't been there in 8 years, but I still had some of the rumor language and was connected with the people. So, and then 2001 is when I actually went out to live there.
So give us a picture of kind of the, political, spiritual climate there that you're dealing with.
Yeah, it's actually like a, kind of, I call it the crossroads of Europe, because there are three main ethnic groups. There are Bosniak Muslims, there are Croatian Catholics, and Serbian Orthodox Serbs. And, you know, there's been ethnic tension, ethnic cleansing is a word you probably have heard from Bosnia. And so it's interesting to be an evangelical Christian in that context, because we're, our church, churches are small. There's about maybe 700 believers in a country of 3.5 million born-again believers. Although, you know, I mean, the Catholic Church and the Orthodox, I'm sure there are some believers. Yep. But so yeah, we're often seen as a cult because we're not part of the three main religions. And so that can be challenging sometimes. Yeah. Or if we say the Protestant church, they say, what are you protesting against? And, you know, I have to go a little explain it. But God is opening up doors. And we have all three ethnic groups in our churches that have turned to the Lord, including the Roma, which are the gypsies. And yeah, God opens up doors. And we're reaching out as the Lord leads us to do to
That's
all the,
awesome.
The people groups.
So, you know, obviously we as a church, we have outreaches, different things. Yep. In fact, you saw the list of some of the things. What do you do there as far as a church organization, and you're a part of it, to reach out to your community? Because obviously it's a little different than what we have here.
Yeah. So one of the things we do, we've been, actually our prayer ministry has been boosted in the last couple of years. You remember I was with a sabbatical at a house of prayer, and I came back and was able to teach some of the things that I had learned there. And prayer is just so important because in this area of the world, there's never been a revival. And and the, just the cycles of war going on and on. And so we just need to break through in prayer, into those rough places. And so we're doing that. And we are going to have a prayer day actually the next weekend that I come back. I'm excited about that. And then, so we reach out in different ways. We reach out, we've been reaching out to the disabled community, actually, recently. I've had some opportunities there to reach out to the least of these. And, you know, as accessibility, has, you know, physically and attitudes have been broken down in this country. And I kind of know that because my dad, when I was 5 years old, he had a car accident. He was in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. And I saw those, and my mom worked in special ed, and so Bosnia is probably back where it was, this country was in the 80s or the 90s, you know, and so just being a support to the community there, and they know we're Christians, you know, and so we have opportunities to share with them and families, and be that support and be that advocate for more accessibility, not only the physical, but the attitudes that are towards the disabled. And I believe that Jesus is pleased by those things.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's good.
Then we reach out to kids a lot. Like I said, this the country, the area has been through wars. And it's perpetuated from generation to generation, and so we have summer camps. We have a Christian scouting program. We've had this youth festival this year. We had over 2,000 young people from the Balkan region, from the former Yugoslavian countries. And so it's exciting to reach this next generation for the kingdom and see their hearts change, not only towards God, but towards one another as God changes their hearts.
So that's awesome.
That's how we
know. Obviously, you know, you've been there for 23 years, you know, a couple years on sabbaticals and that sort of thing. What struggles have you had to deal with? You know, you went, you know, as a young person.
Yeah.
You're still a young person. but you know, you're there as a foreigner in a foreign land, you know, dealing with, you know, culture, language, demonic things. You know, the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
What are some of the battles that you've had to deal with, their struggles that you've had to deal with?
Well, like I said, it is hard ground, and everybody, you know, will say that. You know, I've talked to missionaries around the world, it's hard ground, you know, and it is a battle, you know. But there is just a small number of believers. Sometimes, you know, you work, you serve, you pour into people, and then, you know, they leave the church, or, you know, that you don't see the fruit that you want to see, and it's you have to keep, you know, believing. And in fact, one of my friends, I'm not a runner, but my friend gave me this analogy, is that, you know, like a marathon, you get a marathon, somebody running a marathon got to the point where they feel like they can't go on. You know, they don't have their breath, or, you know, their muscles are so sore, and then they have to make that decision whether they're going to break through or where they're going to quit. And there's times where I've been in my, I don't think anything I'm doing is doing anything, Lord, but He's given me that grace to keep on. And, you know, we're not in a sprint, brothers and sisters. Right. We're in a marathon. And we just keep believing, trusting, praying, being obedient, and trusting Him to get us, you know.
So we talked about a bit of a struggle. Give us, I'm sure you have one, a success story.
So I love to see. So I work, since I came, I've been working in kids' camps, and so I love to see the kids that go from camp to teen camp, to youth camp, to serving at kids' camp. You know, this is like being baptized. And being a young person there in Bosnia is not easy for an evangelical Christian because, again, they're outcasts. Yeah. They're not a part of the main flow. And so to see that, there's one young lady who just, I know her from, she was a baby, and now has just finished theological seminary. And she's serving in the camps and different ways with the youth, and that's an exciting thing to see, that they're saying with the Lord.
That's awesome. There's a scripture that I'd like us to have a look at, just one scripture this morning, Mark 16, 14 and 15. Jesus is speaking, and He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." And so here's Jesus giving this, you know, mandate to the disciples. And quite often we think, yeah, that's Jennifer Bliss's problem. You know, it's her job. She's the full-time missionary. It's her job to do that scripture. But is that really true? Isn't it a little more than that?
It is. It definitely is. And I, you know, God has called us wherever we are. You know, He talks about Jerusalem, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And so God, you know, can use us to be salt and light wherever we are. And He wants us to do that because He cares about the people around us, whether they're American or, you know, in the States, we have a lot of different nationalities. And so you can actually reach the world just being right here. Just ask God to give you the heart for the people around you and for those opportunities that He will give you.
Yeah, so often I think people are listening and they're like, yeah, on the inside. But then when that moment comes where they're going to share with someone, they're like, and fear overwhelms them. Maybe they feel they'll say the wrong thing and maybe drive people away from God. You know, all kinds of feelings will come in to try to hinder them from doing that. So how would you encourage someone who's maybe dealing with that fear thing? They want to share their faith. Yeah. They want to share their story with someone, but just can't.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think, it starts with prayer and just asking the Lord to give you the courage and the boldness to do that. And even in our weak words, God can use us. He's a big God. He can use us even when we make mistakes, when we don't know the answers. Yeah. We can say, tell the person, hey, I don't know the answer to that question, but I'll try to figure it out for you, I'm an introvert, so it's not in my nature to be like really, but God gives opportunities as I pray, and uses the way that He created me to be a witness, and so that He can use every one of you to do that as well, and pray, we're not gonna our eloquent words gonna lead somebody to the Lord, but He leads people by His Spirit, and so praying that God will work in the hearts of the people that you're sharing with.
Amen. The fact that we are only the messengers of the message.
Yes.
And that Jesus is the miracle worker. You can't
Amen.
Convince someone to be saved.
Yes.
That's a miracle of God, but it's our job to share the message of salvation.
Mm.
And one of our most powerful things that we can share, you can have some scripture verses, and listen, it's important to memorize the scripture, make it
yes.
a part of your life. But listen, your most powerful tool to share is your story of how you
Amen.
Met Jesus personally.
Yes.
Yeah, and if you can't remember that, something's wrong. In other words, that's not something you got to memorize or try to figure out. It's who you are now. And so just to be able to share that just plainly and simply in a couple of minutes' time, that's a powerful thing to be able to do. Amen? So I encourage you, if there's people here that you've never shared your faith with someone, I encourage you to take a chance on Jesus and see that He will follow you through and help you with that. Amen. It's a wonderful experience to share the Lord with someone.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Yes.
Amen. I know this because I get your emails.
Uh-huh.
There's a couple of needs that
mm-hmm.
are going on. Issues with the church and building for quite
yes.
some years.
Yes.
You want to share a little bit about that?
Yep. So first of all, I'll share that our church has been in a transition as our pastor of over 30 years felt the Lord moving him back to Croatia where he was originally from. And so this year he stepped down as pastor. We don't have a pastor yet. We have a group of elders, mm-hmm. a leadership team that is leading the church. And I believe the transition went well. So praise God for that. And then we're just seeking the Lord as to what He wants from us now. But even before I came to live in Bosnia, we had the church had purchased a bit of land that had a bombed out building on it, and at one point the building was knocked down, but we could never, over 25 years, we could never get a building permit. And part of that is corruption in the government. They want a bribe. Part of it was the Catholic Church actually putting some resistance there. But anyway, we decided after all those years to put the land up for sale.
Okay.
And it took a little while, but we got a really good offer. And this past fall, sold the land, and it was a little, there was like two parts, like we got one part of the money, and we're supposed to get this second part of the money, we're going to get it a little bit later, but the guy's going to give us more money, so we're working all those details out, pray that that would all work out, but now we're looking at buildings that are already built that we can convert into a church. And that would be easier for us to do that. And so there's some possibilities right now. And we're praying for God's timing, God's will.
That's awesome.
That we can be blessed and be a blessing to wherever the place that we're going to be.
Amen. Awesome. God has a plan, not always the way we want to do
He's
got a plan. There's also another personal need that you've got.
So about 14 years ago, I bought a used car. It served me well, but it's getting up there in miles or kilometers, actually. And it's time to think about a new vehicle. I do travel to different conferences and that kind of stuff, and bring people to church and that kind of stuff. So, I'm raising money for a new reliable vehicle.
Awesome. And so, again, we are the church. We are the church. And so if you would like to give a special offering for this car, it's easy to do. You can do it through our app. you hit the drop down on giving, actually Jennifer Bliss's name is right there, so you can just click on it, give directly that way. There's offering envelopes in the chairs in front of you. Grab one. And if right in your mind you think, well, the church will look after her. Okay, remember, we are the church, and so we're going to look after her. So I like to believe that enough finances will come in to be able to help her to get this new car. This has been an ongoing thing. I think for a couple of years you've been believing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, you know, she's been like, oh, I just need it. This has been an ongoing need.
Yeah.
And so let's just put a nail in this thing and say it's done, all right? So let's just believe God for that. So if on the offering envelope you just put like Jennifer Bliss or Jen, you know, just something that points to her, every penny will go for that car. And we're just believing for great things. So listen, in a moment we're going to pray for you. I'm going to ask the elders to come up. So I see Pastor Vic there and Dane and Yusuf. You guys come on up. Let's lay hands on Jennifer and just pray a blessing over her. You want to grab the handheld mic right there? Great. Come on over here somewhere. Right here. Amen. Got the green light on? Yep, it's working. Amen. You know, I prayed at the first service, so listen, I'd rather have you guys pray. I've done this already, so amen.
I'll get us started. Heavenly Father, right now, we just come before you. You are the creator of all things.
Yes.
And Lord, we just ask that you would just create a way for Jennifer to receive those blessings that she so much desires. Lord, not only the blessings in a car and her ministry, but Lord, even in her personal life, Lord, there are things that are deep in her heart, Lord. I would just ask that you would just release that and just meet those needs, meet those desires, if you will, Lord. All for your glory, Lord, that you would be glorified in it. There's no single thing here that is personal in the sense of gratifying self, but Lord, that it would all glorify you, and Lord, that we could partner with her, we could be a part of what you're doing in that part of the world, Lord. It's a part of the world that we don't hear about much, especially in these days. But Lord, there's a tremendous need there. There are people that need to know you. Lord, they've been in deception. They've been deceived. But Lord, you are the truth. And so Lord, help them to see. Help Jennifer to be that vessel, that vehicle, Lord, that would bring truth, the gospel, the good news, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
To those that are lost and dying, Lord. And so Lord, we just release that.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. A season, Lord, of miracles, signs, and wonders. Undeniable,
Lord.
Your power. Your power, O Lord, flowing through this, your daughter, and all that serve there, Lord. So many that are lost. So many, Lord, that you would pour out a season of miracles, signs, and wonders. Undeniable, pointing to you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That people would run to you, Lord, run to your throne,
yes.
Run to your hope, run to your deliverance. So pour out your spirit, Lord God. Bless this, your daughter. Empower her like never before, Lord.
Yes.
I pray in Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord God, we lift up Jennifer to you right now. Lord, you've heard the prayers that have gone up, Lord God. And Father, we just lift Jennifer up to you. Lord, we just ask that you meet her every need, Lord God. Lord, we've talked about some of the needs, but there are other needs that she has, Lord
yes,
God.
Lord.
We just pray that you meet those needs as well, Lord God. And Father, help her to know that you're there, Lord God, to know that when things look dark, when things are difficult, when things are tough, that she can still trust in you, Lord God, that she can still lean on you. And Father, we just look forward to hearing the testimonies, Lord God, the good news, Lord God, that she's bringing forth, Lord God. And we just pray that the car need is met, Lord. We just that's done, Lord. We just stand here in agreement with her that's done, Lord God. And Father, we just thank you for Jennifer. Pray that you continue to bless her ministry, Lord God, in Jesus' name.
So, Father, right now, I pray that Jennifer senses that part of her family is standing right here with her. That, Lord God, that they, even though we're going to be separated by distance, that, Lord God, that we are a family that she can trust is praying for her, is lifting her up, and is helping to meet her needs, both spiritually and physically. So, Lord, we thank you for every person here, those watching online as well. I speak a blessing upon them. I speak safety, Lord, as, you know, this apparent storm seems to be coming. The Lord God, you just watch over every person as they trust in you and are directed by you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you this morning. Thank you.